Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Start up, start up. Start up, Brooklyn boys. Start up, Brooklyn boys. Start up, start up, start up. They making noise. Start up. Start up, start up, start up, start up, start up.
Episode 157 of the Brooklyn Boys Podcast. Happy New Year.
I guess we could still say it because it's the first podcast.
Listen, even if we came on February 10th.
Right, it's our first.
If a first of the year, we get to say Happy New Year.
Scare, you played the wrong song.
Which one was I supposed to play?
We've been on vacation.
You want to play Boys Are Back in Town?
Yes, you got to play that. Play that.
I like
God,
I
you failed me.
I didn't fail you. I didn't think that we really needed to have a rule about it.
Well, we play it every time we're back from vacation. People expect it. Right now, people are going, yes, Gary, pay attention.
Do they have to hear the Boys Are Back in Town? Is that
I feel like the slices, they're expecting it.
All right, I'll give it to you. What about WAP? I like the WAP one.
But we're not WAPing right now.
I'll WAP right now, with you.
Right now, the Boys Are Back in Town, though. Aren't they?
They are, but I got news for you. I'm looking through this. We don't have it.
What is wrong with you?
No, we never had it.
We've been home for a year. We haven't
played it in a year, in close to a year.
So, all right, tomorrow you'll get it at work?
I guess.
Oh, is it too difficult?
Is there
a lot of heavy lifting of audio?
Send it to me.
Send it to me.
Oh,
Speaking of sending it to you, somehow you lost one of my all-time favorite phone taps.
That wasn't me.
Okay, Shaggy. We played that today, didn't we?
We did.
Yeah, on the Elvis Duran Morning Show. You were going to play You Killed My Skunk, which is one of my all-time favorite phone taps that I've done.
That was the one I wanted. In fact, we reached for that a few months ago to play it, and we just aired it recently, and it was it went over like, oh my God, I haven't heard that before, because we hadn't played it in a long time.
Fantastic. It's a fantastic. The guy that I phone tapped should have his own TV show. He's that funny.
The problem with it is it's missing. I went to go reach for it today, and it's always where it normally is.
In the computer.
Yeah, at the computer at work. And it wasn't.
You make it sound like you were reaching for it, like you keep it on a shelf somewhere.
Well, a virtual reach. When you virtually reach for something, it's like you're...
I don't think that's a thing.
A virtual reach?
I think you can look for something. I don't think you reach for it.
Well,
you didn't put your arm into the monitor.
Okay, when people say you reach for the stars, are you really trying to reach for the stars?
That's a metaphor. That's like, he's like trying really hard. There's no limit to his talent. He's not going to set a height for himself. He's not going to put a limit, a ceiling. You reach for a star. You don't reach into the computer for something.
What about some of those mornings where you reach for a joke and Elvis denies it?
But that's a virtual reach. That's not a reaching into a computer. When you say somebody's reaching, that means they're stretching.
Are we stretching right now? Are we stretching for time? Because we are jam packed with things to say.
We don't ever stretch for time. Speaking of which, you called me up. Well, what's today? Today's Thursday.
By the way, just to put a lid on the. Yeah, so this phone tap is missing, and now we have to redub it and find it again and play it some other day.
I have the original one.
Right.
Right? With no laughter in the background. It's not the air version.
No comedy laugh track.
Which is great. Listen, Danielle laughing, everybody's laughing. It was friggin' hilarious. That was one of my, it's still one of my favorites.
All right.
And I've done hundreds and hundreds and hundreds.
Well, we will figure that out. We will find that out. That is another task for another day because we're doing this now.
Today's Thursday. A lot of stuff going on in the news yesterday in Washington. So we didn't do a podcast. We were like, let's not do that.
Yeah, last night we didn't.
We're not really a day late. We're a day on time. We're just not early this week.
Right.
So we're on time.
Yeah, we're still releasing this on a Thursday.
Thursday night, yeah. So Monday night, Scary calls me and says, you got to get on the Stereo app. It's the new thing. Now, you have to understand something about Scary, and I think I've mentioned this before. Anytime there's a new social media platform, Scary calls me or tells me at work, back in the day when we used to work together,
Yeah. Hey,
there's a new app. You got to get on it. It's going to be the biggest thing.
I wasn't wrong about Facebook. I wasn't wrong about TikTok.
But you were wrong about Feed and Line. You were definitely wrong about those two. So Feed was Pheed. It was the next big thing. Brody, got to get your name. Got to register yourself. It's going to be the big thing. It's going to replace everything. It does everything. But what makes it different? It's new. It's going to be great. Right in the toilet. The Line app, you were into that. Our company was excited about it. Line.
What was the jingle we used to play? Line me right now and I'll line you right back.
Yeah. And then they had a commercial where it would list all the things that the Line app does. And then the out cue was, Line app, does your app do that? Right. But then another commercial where it didn't list any benefits and features. It just had like people talking about liking the app. And then they used the tagline. It says, does your app do that? But it didn't. They didn't do anything. They didn't say it did anything. So it made no sense.
It wasn't clear. And what it really amounted to was WhatsApp with animoji video, you know, with anime.
Stickers.
Anime and Hello Kitty stuff.
It was big in Asia.
Yeah.
And so the company that owned it in Asia wanted to make it huge in America. So they paid our company a lot of money. And we all started using it. And it was like, oh, this is interesting.
So
and then it just kind of...
Let me give you one better, Brody. And this is...
So no,
this
we
is,
didn't finish talking about Monday. Oh, yeah,
no, in the long line of failed apps.
Yeah.
This is the perfect one.
Friendster?
No. The Z-Zone. So back when MySpace
was... You have to remember MySpace,
MySpace.
Right.
Well, everyone here listens or remembers MySpace, right?
I would hope.
The top eight. You know?
Yeah.
I don't think I was in your top eight. And you were in my top eight. I think we weren't as tight back then. But eight people.
I thought we were.
Yeah. Right. Anyway, so MySpace was a thing. And at the local radio station, Z100, they were like,
nationally, all our company wanted all the stations to have their own
page. It started with Z100 in New York. They said,
they called it the Z Zone.
They're like, let's compete with MySpace. Let's take our listeners on the radio and say, hey, everybody, come
check
meet
out
us
my
here.
Z-Zone
check out the
Z-Zone page.
And let's make that a thing because we don't want to drive people to MySpace. The thing that they don't understand in big corporate, and, you know, help me out here, Brody, is that if there's something that is tremendous, something mammoth, something that, like, is, like, changing the world, revolutionary in the app world.
You're not going to offshoot it.
Right. Things like Facebook, Instagram, huge monsters like Twitter. You're not going to compete with it and hope to pull people away from that media.
Oh, we've got the new app. It's Zwitter for Z100's Twitter. Zwitter.
Right. Plus, we have two or three employees and a couple of interns working on the Z-Zone page. Like, graphically, and the functionality-wise, how great can it really get? How awesome can it really be? It was so basic. It was so... I don't even know how to compare it.
But it was our job back then.
We had to
use it, promote it,
they were
design the page,
come up with
graphics.
Don't talk about MySpace on the air.
Talk about the Z-Zone.
The Z-Zone. Yeah. So that was... you know, we had a couple of hundred people that signed up, and it was,
so that was a fail,
a thing for a moment. Yeah.
So given all the failures, Scary calls me, says, you got to get the stereo app. The what? The stereo app. Is it a music player? What is it? No. It's emojis. It's avatars of you, and you can create your own avatar.
It's
and
custom made. It is built for the Brooklyn Boys podcast.
Bitmoji is what it's called, right? When it's you.
Bitmoji. Yeah, Bitmoji. It's Bitmoji-esque. It's very cartoonish.
Right.
Yeah, you build your Bitmoji ahead of time, saying what I want. I call it an avatar. What do you want it to look like? Do you want it to have hair? Do you want fat cheeks?
So I start asking scary questions. He's so excited about it, he doesn't even know what it is yet. He's like, we can do the show, and it's got cartoon versions of us, and we should do it.
All I knew is it had the functionality of two faces on a screen with their lips moving in unison with you talking. Right. And
it sounds like the Caller Daddy podcast.
Yeah, pretty much.
That was me. I said it. Okay.
Right. Okay. You get on me for that. For no, promoting a multi-million dollar podcast and adding to their audience. So, yeah, so what I do...
I think they have the same home sound system as you, by the way. That's how rich they are.
Well, I will say that the stereo app, getting back to that...
Yeah. This is not an ad, by the way.
No, it's not. Not yet. We're hoping it becomes something.
Anyway.
So when I signed on it, I'm looking and I'm flipping through all the different channels, per se, and people are doing podcasts live. It's a live podcast. But the wrinkle in this stereo app is you, the slice listening right now, can, while you're hearing us in real time do our podcast live, hold down the button and send us up to a 30-second audio voice note, a voicemail.
A comment
to add to the conversation. And then we get notified while we're talking live, and we see it popping up with these badges. You have 2, 3, 4, 5 of them. And every time you hit that play button, the next one in queue will just play out. And then the entire list, the listener, has the experience of hearing the two of us and what is almost a real time retort.
Right, and we'll talk back to you.
Yeah, and we'll go back and
then conversation.
It actually really completes the feedback loop. That is the one thing missing from podcasting that's recorded the way we know it now.
My point was you can go check it out. Go look at the stereo app. My point was, Scary goes, we'll just do it for a few minutes, see how it works. 75 minutes later.
Oh yeah.
We wrapped it. We had so much fun. And so it wasn't a dud. We'll talk more about it. But here's why, another reason I'm bringing it up. I don't think I'm ready for, we said on this thing, because a bunch of you were listening and heard us and sent questions. You know who you are. You can go listen to the conversation on the stereo app right now. Just look for David Brody and Scary Jones. And the Brooklyn Boys are not yet.
No, just at Scary Jones, at David Brody.
Well, at David Brody, and then at Scary Jones.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. Anyway, so...
And follow us while you're there.
Follow us. Get on the app, follow us. Anyway, so people left questions, whatever, and we said, this will be great if we say what time we're going to do it again, because we sent out tweets, and it lets you do Insta stories right from the app.
Yeah.
And so we haven't figured out a time yet that we want to do another conversation.
Right, because what we want to do is we want to invite you listening to this podcast right now, but we don't want people to listen to this podcast first so they can hear the message. And then when we get on there, we set an appointment.
Yeah, we say Friday at 3 or something, and then you'll get an alert if you're signed up. You'll get an alert that we're on.
That we're on, and that we're live, which is great because it gives you, that's listening to this right now, the opportunity to legit hit us right back, like while we're on. Like, so while we're talking, if you want to say something live,
right. It's going to be our normal rambling, but it won't be a Brooklyn Boys podcast per se, as much as it'll be the Brooklyn Boys, and then you guys asking us questions and talking and interacting. And a lot of the comments we got, the audio comments, were just either inside jokes from the Brooklyn Boys or not enough, but a few, you know, slams at Scary, which is always great. So,
that works. But I like it as a Brooklyn Boys companion, which is live in real time. So you get to actually participate in this. It's almost like having a Q&A session of sorts, right? So Jeff Ross is a popular comedian, and he's jumped on this right away. He roasts people on Comedy Central. So every night he does a podcast live with another comedian. And the night that we were on, he did roast the host, which was fantastic because as the host of that moment of that podcast, because of the technology involved, people were like literally trying to slam him and roast him. And then he was playing them back for everybody to hear in real time. And he's like, oh, that sucked. That one sucked.
I like him. I think he's brilliant. He's one of my favorite comics. Have I told you the story how I've met him twice?
No.
I think you and I met him briefly at the Friars Club.
Yes, we did.
Right? And he was sort of like,
yeah.
Then I met him I'm going to tell the story again. You probably have heard it. Slices, you've heard it. I'm sure if I told it. We were on a party plane. I want to say it was in Vegas. I think we'd gone to Vegas for something. Maybe it was the iHeartRadio Music Festival.
Maybe.
There was some reason we were... I was walking out to the pool, and I'm on Twitter, and Jeff Ross had tweeted something out that was funny, and I don't... Again, that's all I'm telling you is how it's happening. I tweet him, hey, something blah, a joke, big fan, really loved your recent something, whatever it was. As I look up from the phone from just tweeting him, there he is walking by the pool right at me. I didn't know he was at the hotel. He wasn't performing in town.
That's hysterical.
There was no reason for him to be there. I just tweeted him. So I said, hey, Jeff. Hey, man, what's going on? So I said, hey, listen, my name's David Brody. I'm a comic. I work in radio. We're here for a big thing. Oh, cool. Yeah, cool. I said, listen, you're not going to believe this. Look at my Twitter. I just tweeted you, and there you are. How about that? He's like, oh, man, that's great.
Unimpressed.
Yeah. He's like, yeah, hey, man, take care.
They say never meet your idols, right?
Well, he's not my idol. You and I try to be different. If somebody just tweeted me as I walked by them, I'd be like, oh, my God, that's fantastic. Let me see the tweet, you know,
failed to see what are the odds of that.
He wasn't getting into a limo. He was shirtless with his beer gut, and he's just walking by the pool with a hat on. And he's like, "Hey man, what's going on? You know, hey, that's great.
Yeah,
you know?
That's great."
So, look, I know you're on another level. I get it. You know, you're up there. You're the top five comics, stand up comics. Of your generation. I just would have liked a little like, "Oh, that's great. Yeah, where do you work? Oh, you're in radio."
So you wanted him to pretend to be interested and to care.
I wanted him to fake it. Yeah, fake it. Fake Listen, it. You're a comic. You fake an act every night. Like, part of being a comic is reenacting jokes like they're the first time you said them, right? He's a performer. He could have been like, that's fantastic. Hey, thanks for following me. I really appreciate it. But he was like,
That's a buzzkill. Okay.
Yes. I still like the guy, you know. And listen, if we can get him on this podcast, that'd be great. I would tell him that story, too. I'm not afraid. I'm right up to him.
I'm going to
through the microphone.
Yeah.
Right, there you go. So the app on Monday. So that was an hour and 10 minutes.
We will be doing some live Brooklyn Boys Companion. So watch Twitter. We're going to be announcing it there. If we do something, you know, whatever.
Well, we'll probably announce it here too. I think here's the best place to mention it.
Well, should we mention it here on this episode? Are we going to set an appointment right now, or are we going to wait?
I don't know.
You don't know your schedule?
Because, by the way,
once we do this, we have to commit to it, and it's a thing, and we're telling you all now. I don't want to underpromise. You know, I don't want us to be like, you know, to ghost the audience like that. It's terrible.
You want to make a Monday appointment? Monday the 11th?
Let me check my schedule real quick.
I could do something maybe 6 o'clock.
You want to do it
6:30, somewhere in there, 6 p.m. East. That's East Coast time.
You got to commit to it.
That's what I'm saying. Can we do that? We'll just do like a half hour. We'll tweet it out, and you don't even have to wait for us. You just go to the Stereo app. Well, we should be there.
All right. Meet us. O'clock. All right. I'm putting it in my calendar. Now you know it's serious. Stereo app. Meet us.
We're not on serious. I mean, we're on the app. But anyway.
Meet us at 6 p.m. on Monday, January 11th. That'll give us enough people to hear this podcast.
And if you heard this after the fact, we're sorry. But the good thing is audio stays up there for a little while.
And when you have a chance, if you sign up for the Stereo app and follow us, the next time that we're on, whether you knew it or not, you'll get a notification to your phone saying, Scary and Brody, you're live.
Brody and Scary alive. So also, just so you know, I can't promise anything. Spruce, our buddy, he is now on the app. He created an avatar for himself that looks nothing like him, which is typical Spruce. But I texted him. I'm like, hey, people want you to get on this thing. And so he actually signed up and created an account, which is amazing to me because it's so not him. So hopefully we can get him to at least, he can't be on the phone, but he can record a greeting or record something. Can't do three people. That's the problem.
All right. So 6 p.m., the Stereo app. In the meantime, download it and follow us. And then this way you'll get the notification to remind yourselves.
Yeah.
All right.
I have a Venmo problem. Can I share it with you?
Okay, you got a Venmo problem. I got an Easy Pass problem. I started barking about it on the radio yesterday. No one came to my rescue. What's your Venmo problem?
Okay, well, it's not so much a problem with Venmo, but when somebody wants that you haven't interacted with prior, and they want to tell you what their Venmo account is, mm-hmm. How do you tell them what your Venmo account is?
I give it out as my email address.
Okay. All right. Well, somebody this week sent me a screenshot of their QR code.
Right. You could do that too, and you could scan it in.
Uh-huh. Right. Let me ask you a question, Scary. If you text me your QR code, how exactly am I scanning it with the phone that the picture of the QR code is in?
You save the picture as a photo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then you open up the app.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then you, can't you bring in a picture from your photo library?
Nope.
Then you're fucked. Then they did it wrong. But you can do that on some apps.
Well, if you sent it to me and I opened it up on my desktop and I used my, but I if there's a way to do it on Venmo, I didn't see
it. Open it up on another computer or open it up on your phone, but then open the Venmo up on your email, on your computer, and then shoot your phone, hold the phone's camera.
Just tell me your screen name. Just tell me your screen name. Yeah. Isn't that easier?
I mean, it is.
If I'm wrong about Venmo, I tried to figure it out. I'm like, oh, there must be a way to
import it. People like QR codes these days.
Yeah, but you can't send me a QR code. There's a button. It says scan, right?
I'm pretty sure, though, you can. That functionality exists on Snapchat, which is why they allow it on. That's why they think that they can do it on Venmo.
I'm looking on it. It says scan code. It opens up a window. Huh? Venmo me.
Right. Well, you're fucked. Well, you have to
You can print it. You can look, Venmo me, there's a share option, right? You can share the Venmo.
Yeah.
But you can't scan the Venmo.
Okay, whatever.
That's all. I just want to make sure I'm not crazy. I mean, I'm crazy, but I'm not crazy. Well, what happened when you and Easy Pass?
I am so upset, Brody, because this is something that could be prevented, and I might have to bring in the heavy artillery.
You want to explain to the nation what Easy Pass is?
Easy Pass is a fast pass. It's when you're in your car, it's like a QR code or some kind of digital reader that when you go through the toll of said bridge or tunnel, it gets charged automatically to your credit card. It's a super convenient way.
It's everywhere, but it's called different things.
Yeah, it's called SunPass in Florida, right? Yeah, whatever. But it's the thing that you go to the tolls. Everyone has that near them, I think. Anyway, so Easy Pass, this is New York, New Jersey. Every morning I go to the Holland Tunnel for the last 20 years.
Right, and that connects New Jersey to New York. Northern New Jersey to the bottom of Manhattan.
Right. I go to work that way every morning, 5 in the morning, not a problem. They recently started doing construction on the Holland Tunnel, and I guess because of the construction, they felt like they wanted to reduce the speed limit. So they put up one...
It's normally 15,
It's
right?
a 15-mile-an-hour thing. They put one fucking rinky-dink sign across one of the 9 lanes. There's 9 lanes going into the tunnel across between booths 7 and 8. They put this 5-mile-an-hour sign, okay? And nowhere else to be found. So you drive through, and I didn't realize it, but I'm going through my regular Scary Jones speed for 20 years. And by the way, I'm not trying to race to work in the morning. I'm not trying to rush to get there. I'm just going at my pace.
What do you mean you're going through at 20? You just established the speed limit's 15.
But they give you a 10-mile wiggle room. You go
10.
They give you a 10. My point is,
15
if it's a 15, if it's a 15-mile-an-hour speed limit, and I'm going through at 15 to 20 miles an hour every morning, I'm good. It doesn't. You just go through to 15 to 20. And by the way, for 20 years, I never had a problem with that. Well, the second that they put the sign up that says 5 miles an hour at 15, 20 miles an hour now, I am more than 10 miles over. Yeah. So
your Duke's a hazard.
But here's the problem. They don't fucking email me and say, hey, this morning you went through at 22 miles an hour. They didn't do that. You know what they did, Bernie? They waited because they're such an archaic company that lives in the past that all they do is send out regular snail mail.
Yeah,
so
I know.
By the time,
black and white photos.
Right. By the time that I found out that I had gone through at 15 miles an hour over the limit, because... One afternoon, a giant red envelope was in my mailbox that said, Easy Pass violation. A week and a half had passed since that initial infraction.
A week and a half had easy passed.
Yeah. So I'm like, okay, tomorrow morning, I'm going to adjust my speed. But I'm like, I wonder, though, am I going to keep getting violations every day from the past six, 7 work days that I was there?
Right, because when they sent it out, you weren't done speeding, you crazy bastard.
Correct. I was going through, but I was still on the 20-year plan of going, you know, that same, I don't even think when I'm driving. I'm like literally.
Clearly.
Well, I'm just driving and I'm listening to the radio. So I made, the next morning, I made the adjustment in my driving. But sure enough, for the next 7 days straight, they fucking hit my mailbox with the red Easy Pass violation envelope.
Oh.
And it's like, this is a warning. They said, this is a warning, and the next time you may be suspended. And six of those later, by the seventh time, one, they just hit me for a 60-day suspension of my entire Easy Pass.
Oh, no. And did they fine you?
They didn't fine me. They just said, 60 days...
Okay, and so that's 2 months of going to the unprepared lanes where people have to pay cash.
Well, yes, that's the punishment. You're in timeout.
There's only one lane sometimes for that.
Correct.
Oh, you're screwed.
Right. Well, here's a little sidebar to the story. The Holland Tunnel went 100% cashless. So if you are not an Easy Pass holder.
No, they got rid of the one lane. Oh.
If you're not.
No.
But if you're not an Easy Pass holder, they just mail you a bill. So now I'm waiting for day them to hit me with a bill in my mail. I have to pay off these fucking tolls one at a time. I don't know. They probably.
You're a scofflaw. You're a scofflaw. You're lucky they don't take your license away.
What's a scofflaw?
Someone who breaks the law
and
skips it.
Well, anyway, so is it really going to change my behavior? I'm sorry. Is it going to change the course of my day? No, because I still get to roll through but anytime I go on the New Jersey Turnpike, the Garden State Parkway, I got to stop at that fucking basket and put fucking money in there. Or I got to stop at a toll taker and get the ticket and then for the turnpike. There are other roads that are not, most of them are not cashless fully. And if you see a crossing with a cash lane, you're forced to go into it. Otherwise, you get dinged.
So I'm going to read the definition. Let me see if I'll push the button here. Hold on.
Scofflaw.
Well, that's how you pronounce it. Scofflaw is a person who flouts the law. You did. Especially by failing to comply with a law, you did, that is difficult to enforce effectively. Scofflaws are people who have accumulated large debts in unpaid parking tickets, for example. You are a scofflaw.
All right. Well.
And I can't believe you didn't know what a scofflaw was.
I've seen the word.
Since you are one.
I've seen the word. Okay, great. I'm a scofflaw.
You know what they call it in Brooklyn?
What's
that? You're fucking criminals, what you are.
Yeah. So my question to you is,
yeah,
what would Brody do? Or WWBD, which also sounds like a porn category on Pornhub.
Yeah.
WWBD.
Right.
So what would Brody do? I mean, obviously you're going to start your letter writing campaign. That's because I called customer service and they're like, sorry, the only way to get in touch with us is to send a snail mail. You got to write to us and send it to the post office. And maybe fax them. I don't think I can fax them.
I told you about 100 episodes ago about my fight with Easy Pass.
Did you win?
Where the only option to return an old tag is lost or stolen.
Right.
And they charge you for it.
Yeah.
You can't just send back a tag and say, oh, I don't need this tag anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, no. No, we're going to charge you. And then you have to trust them that eventually they're going to refund you money when they realize you didn't lose it. They're terrible. But they have an office, Scary. There is a Port Authority Easy Pass office. You can just go there. I think it's by the, I don't want to bore people from out of the state, but I think it's by the Throg's Neck or the Whitestone. There's an office.
Oh, great. Can't wait.
Well, there's one in Jersey somewhere also. Don't tweet me. Scary, I'll Google it. But you just go there and just, you know, hey, the fuck? And then tell them what the deal is.
I just think it sucks, man, because we're put in these positions every day where
I know,
it's
but
a
don't
no
you have
win.
A friend at the Port Authority, the guy who gave me the
I
Port
got
Authority
nothing. No,
World
got
Trade
nothing.
Tower posters?
I got nothing.
Doesn't that guy's wife work for the Port Authority?
No. They believe me. We've spoken. They can't do
oh,
it.
Oh, you tried to call the guy.
Of course. Come on.
Call. Everybody's got a guy.
Just
we have
sucks.
A guy.
Just sucks, man. Just sucks.
All right. Well, you shouldn't speed. You shouldn't be speeding.
The thing is, I was doing my normal, even if I was going the speed limit of 15, it still would have been over the limit of 5. Why the hell do they put one tiny sign across 9 lanes is beyond me.
Did you take a picture?
No, but I should do that tomorrow morning.
Take a picture,
then
submit
I'll
that.
Get arrested for using my phone in the car while driving.
All right. So you can't win.
You can't win.
Take the picture at the light before the toll booths. There's a light there.
There is.
Just hope you get a red light. Or you got to sit there at the green light and have people beep at you.
So
you're a mess.
When I mentioned it on the air yesterday, just briefly for 10 seconds, people started texting in that they had similar issues and just a really, really, really shitty bureaucracy of a company. How do companies exist in this day and age without having things electronic and quick and to the moment?
The irony of it is EasyPass
right.
is an electronic, easy and quick way to pay. So everything else is antiquated. The website for EasyPass
is disgusting.
Like something from 1989.
It's like CompuServe shit.
It is a clunky block form. If you want to find something, you can't. If you want to go, I want to look at my tags. You got to go through a 12-step process, and then it's just awful. It's the purple and gray and white. It's the worst.
It looks like Craigslist.
Above Craigslist because it has a header. That's about it.
And they have a purple motif. Somebody figured out how to get the color purple on the screen. Purple, yeah, gray,
it's the
black
worst
and white.
Piece of shit.
It's disgusting.
So F you. F you, EasyPass.
They made that site when the internet was created.
Yes.
When the internet was invented, that's when that shit came
down.
The
fact that you have to mail them, like actual mail,
yeah.
tells you all you need to know. You know why they want you to go slowly, Scary? Because it's too fast for them. It's too fast. Slow down.
Yeah. All right.
There's nothing easy about EasyPass. The name itself is a misnomer.
Hey, how was your holiday, by the way? Well, this is the first episode back. We should talk a little bit about just a brief overview.
I think, we did a podcast after Hanukkah. So if you're talking about my break.
How was your break? How was New Year?
I'll tell you about my Christmas. Let me tell you about my Christmas. You know that the Jewish Christmas is Chinese food in a movie.
Always.
So I went in for the first time since March. I drove into Manhattan. So that's, you're looking at 9 months, 9.5 months.
Did you go through EasyPass?
I did. At like 30. Boom!
About a week and a half, they'll finally hit you with that.
No, my
that
car's a blur. My car's a blur. They can't even track me. It's so fast. So I went into Wohop, which is the legend of Chinatown. Waited on what you do is you order on the app, and then they call you and confirm it, and they say 1 hour. Okay, 1 hour, great. So I get there at about the 48-minute mark. No traffic right now in New York. It's great. And I saw in my head, Scary, I'm thinking, Manhattan is, it's COVID shut down here and there. You can't eat in restaurants. It's all takeout. And because it's Christmas, all the parking meters and alternate side street parking rules, not in effect. You can park anywhere. Usually in Chinatown, you can't find a spot. So I'm like, this is great. I'm going to go to Chinatown. I'm going to pull right up, get the food, get out of there. Oh, no. Do you know what's blocking all of the parking spaces?
Oh, I know, Brody, because I go into the city every day.
It's outdoor seating.
Outdoor dining. Yeah, they built their
tables in three-sided tents up and down all the streets of Chinatown.
In the street where normally cars would be parallel parked.
Right. So the sidewalks are clear.
Yeah.
Imagine like there was a car there. You'd be eating dinner in the car. That's what it's like. You step off the curb and you're right there on a table. Right. I mean, listen,
but it's usually
very cool.
It's a plywood.
It's COVID friendly. Yep. I get it. Some of them had heaters set up for you. Yep. It was wonderful.
Yeah.
So,
but they've taken up like 75% of each street's parking.
So it took me 20 minutes to get a spot because I'm good at it. It would have taken me much longer if I wasn't a pro. I parked about two blocks away. And then everyone outside, the guy comes upstairs and he goes, phone number. So you got to give me your phone number. And then he runs back down the staircase.
Is that
it's a basement
Asian
restaurant.
For phone number? Fumama?
What? I said phone number.
You said fumama.
No, I did not.
Okay.
I said phone number. Don't.
All right.
So he was barking at everybody.
Okay.
He was very hyper.
Screaming. Okay.
Right? Because he was, he was overwhelmed for Christmas. It was all my people. Oh, yeah. Tribe. Hashtag tribe. So he's coming up. So he's yelling out like, 3279. So of course what happens? Oh, that's me. Everybody goes, well, the hell's mine? I've been waiting for an hour and a half.
Oh, boy.
It's coming. So every time he yelled the number, just from the time I was there, after a while, he was yelling, but you could see he was flinching.
Mm.
Because every time he yelled the number, one out of 30 people was happy. So I waited another hour for my food. That's how bad it was, right?
Did you get your fix when you got the food?
Hold on, hold on. So I ordered, you know, I like.
I want to jump to the eating part.
So I bring home, you know what I ordered?
Yeah.
What I order?
Pork lo mein, no vegetables.
Roast
pork lo mein.
So yeah. They have a thing called 4D. 4D lo mein. It is not just, it's like how special. It's shrimp, chicken, roast pork, and beef on lo mein.
And because, okay. Well,
There's a brown gravy on top of that. It's to die for. Mm. And I got wonton egg drop soup and all kinds of food for the rest of the family.
By the way, 4D, 4D.
Yeah, I tried. You know what that is? On 4D.
No.
That's a 4D. Big
4D is what they do to it. They throw 4Ds in it when you complain about it, not getting your order.
Wow, that's a stretch. Okay.
Oh, going back to stretching.
So I don't check the food because it's just giant bag. I got to walk 2.5 blocks to the car. I go home. I unpack everything. My 4D lo mein has a thick layer of vegetables on top in the sauce. And my wonton egg drop soup mixed, no greens, is now just wonton soup.
Mm.
I didn't get the mixed. Ugh, I got to have the egg drop soup. Come on. So there's a couple of mistakes, but you can't call them. No phone, only ordering online. So you're screwed. There's nothing you can do. So I took the vegetables out, right? And I picked them all out. Didn't get upset because it was Christmas. And we had a great meal.
Good.
And the food is fantastic. But that's not the problem. The problem is the movie that we watched. Now, it was, I don't want to spoil the movie, so I'm not going to tell you the name of the movie. I'm just going to tell you that it came out on Christmas Day, okay?
Okay.
And even what I'm going to tell you isn't going to spoil the film, but trust me, there's a major problem with the film. And first of all, the movie was terrible.
All right. Well, you're going to tell everybody in the Brooklyn Boys companion of this episode that we
did. Did I mention it on stereo?
Oh, God, yeah. All you did was talk about it.
But I didn't say what I was going to ask you.
No. So you might as well just reveal. Well, I'll tell you what. We got to bring our first commercial break in here, and then we're going to find out what this is.
I'm going to say the movie in 5 seconds. So if you want, you can skip ahead 5 seconds and then the commercials. Well, listen to the commercials. But you can skip ahead. I'm going to give you 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and I'm going to say the name of the movie, and then we'll go to commercial. When I come back, I won't say the name of the movie. Okay?
Got it.
All right. So 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, Wonder Woman 1984. We'll be right back.
With Skeery and Brody.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Okay. So this movie I saw, which most of you now know the movie. What I'm going to say,
by the way,
is
what the fuck did that accomplish? People know what it is.
Well, I don't know if they know what it is. I hope they, if they didn't want to know. But listen, I don't want you to tune out. I'm not going to ruin the movie, I promise. But there's something in the movie that I'm going to point out that when you go see it, you'll be cognizant of it, and I want your opinion.
Okay.
And if you've seen it, I want your opinion. Scare, you haven't seen it, so I want your opinion. Okay. In the movie, everybody in the movie, for whatever reason, gets a wish. Okay? The movie is horrifically bad. I'm saving you the trouble.
Was Gal Gadot okay? hot, though?
Oh, dude, I wasn't saying what movie it was.
You said it earlier. People only know what it is.
Only the people that skipped.
Oh, was Gigi really, really hot?
Okay, stop. Stop. Okay, so now that you've ruined it, so everyone in the movie gets a wish. It's moronic. But Wonder Woman's wish is for her... See, I feel like I'm saying it now. I made people skip.
Well,
and
you just said the fucking name now, too. You just said her name.
You said the woman's name who stars in the movie.
Oh, my God. Okay,
right.
So what?
All again, right,
so
this
what,
is
was,
not,
what okay. was Gigi's wish?
Okay, so she wishes... This is 1984. She wishes to get her boyfriend back, who died in World War I, 70 years earlier, right?
Yeah.
She knew him for a couple of weeks, a month, whatever it was, and it's her a long-lost love. She's hot as a pistol, Wonder Woman, in real life, but in the movie.
Yeah.
And she hasn't fell for anybody in 70 years.
What a waste. Right?
Exactly. So now every wish in the movie comes true. Every wish, no matter how insane it is, comes true exactly the way they wished for it.
Because it's in the script.
For some reason, her wish doesn't come true exactly the way she wishes for it. She wants her boyfriend, Steve Trevor, to come back to life.
What's she waiting 70 years for? Can't you just make a dick appointment and move on?
Right. So this is what her wish is. So rather than Chris Pine, who plays Steve Trevor, he doesn't come back as Chris Pine. He comes back in the body of some other dude named Mike. Right?
Yeah.
So Mike, again, I'm really sorry, people. It's a great point, though. No, it's a small part of the movie. It really is. Mike comes up to her at a party and says something to her that she would remember Steve saying 70 years earlier.
Okay.
And she's like, what? He's like, I'm Steve. And she immediately believes him because of what he said and how he said it. Even though she sees Mike.
Right.
Then there's like a camera trick and a mirror. And you then see Chris Pine. We see Chris Pine for the rest of the movie. Even though we are now told it's Mike. It's Mike's body. Chris Pine is in Mike's body. Okay. But it's Chris Pine's brain.
Did they have some COVID production problems where they had to like retrofit the script? Because
There was no reason that they just didn't bring Chris Pine back as Chris Pine. No reason. It's the most moronic thing. That's not my problem. So once she accepts him, I guess they went through his wallet because they go back to his apartment. Oh, I'm sorry. No, Chris Pine as Mike woke up in Mike's apartment, so he knows where he lives. They go back to Mike's apartment. You are once again reminded it's Mike. It's Mike's body.
Right.
Right? Nobody cares throughout the whole movie. Wonder Woman doesn't care where Mike is. Mike is now in suspended animation. His body is there, but his mind isn't. It's somewhere. Right? You've basically temporarily killed Mike. And if for some reason in the movie, I'm not telling you what happens in the movie, but let's say Steve Trevor wants to stay as Mike, then Mike's dead. Mike's gone. So they make no reference to Mike having a girlfriend, a family, a job, nothing.
So what's the takeaway here?
Here's where I need your help. So it's her long lost love after 70 years, right?
Yeah.
What do? They immediately jump into bed and have sex. Okay. It's supposed to be very romantic. The love of her life is back. They have sex.
70 years.
Multiple times.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. She's having sex with Mike's body. And Mike is unconscious. He's not there. That's wrong. Right?
Right.
She's having sex mentally with Steve Trevor.
Right.
But it's Mike's body. And everyone in the movie, everyone's like, you know, on Twitter's like, oh, how romantic. She got to go back. No. She basically had non-consensual sex with Mike. Think about it.
I'm thinking about it.
Now, someone I had a debate with said it's not your body, it's your soul, and she had sex with the soul of Steve Trevor. And I said, but what if Mike got a venereal disease, got herpes from Wonder Woman, or got Wonder Woman pregnant? He wakes up, he's got a kid coming up, he doesn't even remember having sex with her. How does Wonder Woman, who pretends to be the holiest, most truthful human being on the planet,
have non-consensual sex, right?
Yeah, with Mike? There was no point in the movie, the writer and directors of the movie, there was no point to having him come back in Mike's body.
Obviously, this is why it's bombed at the box office.
Can you justify it?
And nobody
can you justify having... Well, okay, let me ask. So I had a debate with somebody, right? And I said, and they're arguing with me that you're not having sex with Mike, you're having sex with Steve, mm-hmm. and even though it's Mike's body, it's Steve's soul you're having sex with.
Yes.
And I go, well, what if Mike was gay and didn't ever want to be with a woman? What if Mike was saving himself for marriage? Right? His body is not a virgin. So then I said, okay, let me ask you this. Because a lot of people, now look, nobody got upset when Tom Hanks was in Big, right? And he became an adult.
Right.
He had sex with a woman, spoiler, from the 80s. And he was a little boy. So technically, she had sex with a little boy in a man's body. But it wasn't someone else's body. It was his body.
Part of the play part of anything in watching a movie, which is fiction, is the suspension of disbelief. The suspension of, like,
right. They're going for that.
Right.
No. You want me to suspend disbelief, then I'll tell you, okay, the woman can fly for no reason.
Yeah, but
she date raped a guy.
I don't think it was apparent, because I think what ends up happening is people like you who overanalyze shit, and there are a lot of you out there.
Go on Twitter and see how many people are upset that she had sex with Mike.
Right.
A lot of people noticed it. Think about it this way, Scary. What if it was a guy, right? And his dead girlfriend came back in the body of some woman on the street, and he took her home and had sex with the body.
Because that's real life, and he's really dragging a body into his house.
No, I didn't say drag a body. I'm saying he meets her on the street, right? And it's his ex-girlfriend in the body, right? So it's the body of some woman, but his ex-girlfriend is now in that body. He's like, hey, oh my God, Maria, I missed you so much.
Right now,
she's in Heather's body. You take Heather back to the apartment, but it's Maria. Maria's like, hey, let's have sex. You have sex with Heather's body. You don't think Heather's going to be pissed and sue you?
Yeah, this is way too deep, man.
It's not deep. Well, that's what he said.
You're talking about a woman who puts her two fucking index fingers together and then magic shit happens. I mean,
I understand
this
that.
Isn't exactly,
but it's just wrong.
This isn't exactly right from the start. Like, there's nothing right about this. And to me, you know, you get what you pay for, and you this is what you're... Listen, this is a box office written screenplay that they turn, you know, someone spent money on, and they're hoping that it does. You know, they're not being all cerebral. This isn't a film for deep thought.
The movie is so bad that you notice this. That's how bad it is. And then I'm not going to tell you anything about... I know you're going to get mad at me. I'm not going to tell you what happens at the end of the movie, I promise. But something happens at the end of the movie that makes this whole thing I just told you even worse.
All right.
Even worse.
Okay. All right.
So I'm
I would go so far as to say that not many people listening to this even gave it much thought at all, if they even saw it to begin with. I mean,
all right, I'm going
to
give you one more analogy, because I used it on my family and they got mad at me. Okay. So I'm not going to say my family. Let's say, Scary, does your brother have a daughter?
My brother has a son.
Okay. You have a friend who has a daughter?
You.
No, not me. So let's say Fred. We have a guy named Fred, right? Fred's got a teenage daughter, okay?
Scotty B has a teenage daughter.
Let's say Scotty B's wife passes away. And then, I don't know, 8 years later, when his daughter is 19 years old, his wife comes back, her spirit comes back into the daughter's body, who's 19. Under the theory that it's just a soul, could he then have sex with his daughter's body, but it's his wife?
I think that's disgusting.
Okay, that's my point.
All right.
The body matters, right?
Yes.
Right. So look, I'm not saying Mike's not going to wake up and go, holy crap, I had sex with Wonder Woman. But don't you think he would like to have been asked first? He lost like 3 or 4 days of his life maybe more. I'm not telling you how it ends.
Right.
But he lost his life. What if he got fired from work?
I know.
All right. I'm just, that's all.
Listen, I know it works both ways with non-consensual sex, but if, you know, a lot of guys will just be like, oh, this is cool.
A lot of guys would not be.
Some guys might not be.
Okay.
Just saying, yeah, no, I know that exists. I know that exists.
How would your girlfriend Robin feel if she found out that your body had sex with Wonder Woman and you were unconscious and then you woke up and you were like, oh, and there were pictures of it. She's like, you had sex with Wonder Woman. Like, I didn't have sex with Wonder Woman. Some guy was inhabiting my body. You think she'd look at the pictures of you, your body having sex with another woman and be like, oh, your mind wasn't there. It's fine.
Yeah. I think she'd have to excuse it.
Really? Okay. Let me turn it around. Let's say you saw pictures of some ugly, out of shape, sweaty pig of a man having sex with Robin, but then Robin was like, oh, I was inhabited by the soul of his wife. So what are you gonna do?
Yeah.
You'd be fine with it. You'd be like, oh, okay.
No, I don't know. You know, to me, I don't live in a world where things are impossible. Like, these are physical impossibilities. So the things that you're talking about don't make sense to me because I live here on Earth and I live a reality every day.
But your mind can't wrap your head around it?
I'm not wrapping my head around it, Brody, because it's not true. It's not going to be, it physically can't happen.
So have you ever seen a superhero film? Have you seen Superman?
Yeah, but that's why I hate them.
Okay, because you can't fathom.
No, because to me, a superhero flick is action, is craziness,
is escaping.
It's an escapism mechanism. If we want to get on this level, then then it's an escape. But it's not reality to me. It's just I'm watching for entertainment purposes.
All right, I'll put it in this terms you can understand. I'm not going to tell you what happens in the movie, okay? But let's say there's a guy who lived in the 1910s, right?
Okay.
He's around when, let's say, radio was first invented, whatever year that was.
Right.
Right? He worked at a radio station in 1925, whenever radio was invented.
Okay.
Right? He dies. He comes back to life in 2020, 2021.
Okay.
He walks into our radio station, sees all the equipment, and goes, oh, I'm a radio guy, and just uses all the equipment. Would you believe that?
No.
Right. Multiply that times 1,000, and that's what happened in the movie. Something like that.
Okay, but at the same time,
can you wrap your head around that?
You get what you sign up for.
I didn't sign up for it. It was free on HBO Max.
That's exactly it. So then why are you complaining, Brody?
I wasted, because the movie is like 7 hours long, and it's the worst 7 hours.
There's a stop button. As soon as it gets weird.
No, I'm watching it with four other people. We're all sitting there going, it's going to get better.
As soon as shit gets weird, you get up and you go into your basement. I, what do you want me to tell you? I'm going to
go into my basement? Why would I do that?
Just get out of there. Say, I don't want to watch this bullshit. This is stupid.
All right, by the way, that's the end of that.
Let's move on. It's been 20 minutes. What do you want to say?
You asked a lot of questions. Dude, it's your fault.
I did not ask you one. All I said was, how was your fucking New Year's? And you talked about your Chinese food and now 20 minutes about this film, which I don't give a fuck about because to me, it's a suspension of disbelief. I go in and I get what I expect. I expect entertainment and visuals, and I know that things are going to happen there that are physically impossible.
Okay, so if you're watching an Avengers film, right? You're watching Avengers.
Yes.
You're watching Avengers.
Suspension of disbelief, yes.
Okay.
Anything that happens is fine.
Okay. And you know Thor, right?
Right.
Okay,
the movie is laden with things that can't happen in real life.
If Thor, Chris Hemsworth, out of nowhere, picks up a dog and eats it, a live dog, starts eating it, are you going to say, well, he's a god of thunder, so he's powerful enough to eat the dog, so I'm fine?
Yes, because I know I'm watching an Avengers film. If it happened in real life,
It makes no sense. It would make no sense in the context of the movie for Thor to eat a dog. You have to go, why would he eat a dog? Doesn't make any sense. You question it.
Not my world, man. I like biopics. I like documentaries. I like comedies.
What was the last movie you saw?
I watched The Social Dilemma on Netflix because it's set in reality and it's giving me information. But when I go for a comedy, if I'm watching comedy, I expect I don't question anything in the fucking film because it ruins it for me. I'm like, I'm here to be entertained at this point. I don't care what happens. Suspension of disbelief. Guys, look it up. Everyone look it up. It's a thing, and it's a method which works in Hollywood since the golden age of
suspension of disbelief means if you're watching Star Wars, then you believe that there's a thing called the Force, right?
Yeah.
That people can levitate. That's how you suspend disbelief. Okay, but if Luke Skywalker suddenly pulls out a Rubik's Cube,
right.
Hold on, he pulls out a Rubik's Cube and he solves it in 2 seconds. You're like, what the hell? He doesn't know what a Rubik's Cube is. What does that mean? That's not right. It has to be within the scope of what you're believing. What you in the world they create, it has to make sense. There's no dogs in Star Wars. So if all of a sudden there's a dog, there's a poodle, you're like, what the hell is a poodle doing there? That doesn't make any sense. You would say it doesn't make sense. You wouldn't go, well, I'm going to suspend this belief so anything's possible. No, anything is not possible in Star Wars. It has to be in the world of Star Wars.
The writers and directors got Wonder Woman wrong. It's a shit film.
Terrible.
It's awful.
And I feel bad for Mike.
All right, okay,
that's
great. But you know what? There are clunkers in life, and then there are box office smashes. And
100%.
So what do you think?
And she smashed with Mike. That's
okay,
all I'm
great.
Saying.
She smashed with Mike. Great. Have a party. I'm not going to give it any more thought.
We can move on. I wanted to move on 20 minutes ago.
No, you didn't.
Oh, come on. Come on. Look, I got a Scamboni. Would you like to hear a Scamboni?
I would love something other than this type of talk.
Okay, fine. All right, give me a Scamboni music.
Good God.
Scamboni.
Yeah, we know.
What'd you find out?
Okay, so I have Fire Sticks, Amazon Fire Sticks, on all of the television sets in my house. Okay? So if you don't know what a Fire Stick is, it's a little, it's like a flash drive. You plug it into your HDMI input on your TV, and you can watch a lot, like all the streaming channels, if your TV doesn't have built-in streaming. Some of my TVs have built-in, you know, smart apps, whatever, smart TVs, and some don't. So when Amazon does the big sales, right? What do they call the Amazon Prime Day, right?
Yep.
And for the holidays, the Fire Stick is sometimes it's $49. It goes on sale for $39. Goes on sale. So it was on sale, the good one, with the volume control, $29.99, and without the volume control, $19.99. So I needed one more. My daughter's room didn't have a Fire Stick, and I told her I'd get her one for the holidays. So I got her one. Okay. So I know they were $29.99. And $19.99, depending on whether or not you wanted the volume control on the Fire Stick. The one in one of our guest bedrooms that I sometimes sit in and watch TV when I want to get away from the movie on in the other room. So it's a little older. It's not a 4K Fire Stick. So I'm in there watching, I don't know, YouTube, Netflix, whatever I'm on, and I get a pop-up that says, "Congratulations, you're eligible for an upgrade." Oh, I'm eligible. So I'm eligible for an upgrade. So I have this old Fire Stick. It's like second generation. I think they're up to fourth generation. And the one in that room is like, doesn't have a lot of memory. It's almost filled with apps. Like, I'm eligible for an upgrade. That's fantastic. Now, if someone tells you you're eligible, what do you think, Scary?
That means I can get it if I act now.
Right. I'm eligible. So I click on it, and it takes me to a Fire Stick sale page through Amazon.com because Amazon owns the Fire Stick. And it says, "Congratulations, you can now upgrade your Fire Stick. Normally $49.99, you can get it for $39.99. I'm eligible for that. I'm eligible. Thank you. I'm eligible to spend $39.99 on something that a week ago for everyone was $29.99.
Eligible means you get it for free.
Yeah. So basically I'm allowed to buy it
right
at a higher reduced price than it was on sale last week.
Completely misleading.
Completely. That's a Scamboni.
That is
you
a huge
tell me
Scamboni.
I'm eligible.
When you
if
say
they
eligible.
Tell you, hey, you're eligible to upgrade your seats on the plane. You know, like, I get better seats. Sir, for an additional $800, we can put you in a seat.
No.
That's not eligible.
Okay, in certain instances, you're granted the thing for free. But to play devil's advocate for a second.
Of course.
When they say you're eligible for a seat upgrade, I don't take that as I get the seat for free, the upgrade for free. I get it. Because to me, it's like you've been awarded the free upgrade, and there it is. That means it's free. But the second I say I'm eligible, I'm like, okay, that means I have now been put in a different pool of people that have this advantage over the other pool of people, and okay. Now I can pay an extra $129 to get my first class seat.
Okay, here's what I was thinking it was going to be, okay? It was $29.99 last week. By saying I'm eligible, I'm figuring if I mail back the old Fire Stick I have, they'll give it to me for $15, $19, the good one. So instead of $29.99, yeah, maybe I'll get it for $19.99.
So
I'm eligible for something special. I'll send back my old one. They can refurbish it and sell it for $10, and they'll give me one at a really good price.
When I think eligible, also, let me clarify. If yeah. it's a big nut, if it's something that's
all, whoa, whoa,
oh, yeah,
whoa,
you know,
whoa.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah. That's not yeah. good. Yeah.
If it's like something that with a lot of money, then the eligibility is, oh my God, I get into this next category with the possibility I can buy this. But when it's an item like that, like
scamboni.
Something, it's a scamboni because it's like, oh my God, because you're dealing with something that's $19. How much does it really cost them to give you?
Oh, it's plastic. It's probably $5.
Right.
$5 maybe.
When I hear eligible for an upgrade, I think, oh, I'm getting that shit for free because it's a $5 item.
Right. Or I'm paying a slight difference. I'm paying an upgrade. If you have seats on a plane, if the seats in the back are 200 and the upgrade is 800, that's $600. Maybe they give it to you for 450. Right, because you use the 200, but they're not giving me the value of my $200 seat.
No, they're not. No,
they're just going, oh, you want the better seat? It's 800.
Terrible. Well,
what about my $200 ticket? Nothing.
Yeah.
So I get nothing. So then I got to sell it on eBay if I want my money back. That's not what eligible means. Don't get me excited.
You gotta pull a fucking Fairway on them. Whatever that company is.
Oh, wow, Wayfair.
Wayfair.
Pricks.
Pull a Wayfair. I called it Fairway. That's a grocery store.
Yeah, it's not even in business anymore, right?
No, it's not. They're gone. Well,
Fairway was the supermarket that was in all the Impractical Jokers episodes.
Yeah.
They always went to Fairway. I guess that worked out
the
deal.
Well, it still exists in name, but they've sold the company. The company went out, yeah.
Hey, I want to promote something real quick. I used to be in a sketch comedy group. I think I mentioned it briefly on the stereo thing that we did. I was in a 5-person sketch and improv group, and one of the funniest people I know is my friend Craig Mitchell. Craig moved out to California many years ago to be an actor and for pilot season. He's been in a bunch of TV shows, smaller parts. And, he does what he's got to do to make a living, and he's hilarious. He does stand-up. Anyway, he started a YouTube recurring cooking show. He's been trying to eat healthier. So he's doing a cooking healthy, I guess it's a video show, TV show, but on YouTube. Every week he does a video. And so I want to say a couple of weeks ago, I told you guys a story about how he asked me to film something and then didn't tell me it shouldn't be dirty and I had to do it again. Okay, I told the story on the stereo podcast thing that we did, but nobody heard it. It's like, so here's what happened. We used to do, Scary, you saw this. You came to see me perform. If you've ever seen the David Letterman top 10 list, right?
Yep.
Well, he goes, oh, the top 10 reasons to break up with a girl before Christmas. Number 10, number 9. It's all written out and he reads it. The writers put it together and whatever. Well, we would do improv in the comedy club. We would say to the audience, give us a topic. We're going to do a on the spot, top 5 list, because we're 5 of us. So you go out to the audience, you go, oh, get top 5 worst Ben and Jerry flavors. And then the minute you get the topic, the number 5 guy steps forward and goes, number 5, and then gives an example of the worst Ben and Jerry's flavor, okay? And then number 4, number 3, number 2. So if you're number 1, you have all the way down to, you have a long time to wait. You have like, 10, 15 seconds total to think about your answer. But someone else may come up with the same answer, then you're screwed, right? Anyway, we did this live. We broke up as a comedy group way too many years ago to mention, a long time ago. When I was only working at the radio station for a few years, and my schedule got too hectic, and we broke up the group after a while. Anyway, he got us back together to film a top 5 list. He gave us a topic, and we all had to record ourselves giving an answer. And so he said, record like 4 or 5 answers for the top 5 list, and I'll pick the best one from each person and put it together on my show as a bonus feature, and the topic will be related to the item that we're making in the show. Okay, great. So I recorded it, and after I recorded it, he says, oh, you know, they're a little bit off color and a little harsh. Can you do something, don't say ass, and can you say butt instead? And I'm fine. It's just he didn't tell me that. So I spent a lot of time writing material and then filming myself stuff that didn't get used. And I love the guy. It's fine. So the topic he gave us was, I think it was top five reasons to make low-carb cinnamon buns. And I think that's what he does in this episode.
Yeah.
So the five of us gave our answers. And so the one he used, I'm going to tell you how to watch it in a minute. You'll see the one he used. It was relatively safe. It was fine. I think I was number two in out of the top five countdown in reverse order, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Because the guy who got number one, I thought his answer was good because I got censored, basically. So the top five reasons to eat a low-carb cinnamon bun, one of them I said was... because the doctor already took your other foot.
That's a diabetic joke.
Right. Well, okay, yeah. And he's like, no, my audience is very... I was like, okay, all right, fine. So it was stuff like that. So I think he's going to eventually release all the ones he didn't use, which were a little harder. But if you're interested in seeing my friend cook cinnamon buns, low-carb cinnamon buns, he's very funny. And so his name is Craig Mitchell. Spelled Craig with a C, and Mitchell, like the name Mitchell.
Yeah.
And his page, his TV show is called Off the Cuff, C-U-F-F. And the latest episode, I think, is the one, and I'm going to tweet out the link, but please go look for it. Just go look for Off the Cuff. It's very funny, but then I think at the end, or in the middle, I don't know where you put it, is this montage of us doing a top five list. So you can kind of see the people I used to perform with and how much better I looked than all of them now.
The Brooklyn Boys Podcast with Brody and Scary.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Now, Brody.
Yep.
What was that? Yup.
Because I already see it coming.
No. This is something that I think we both can agree on. People and businesses who are using the pandemic as an excuse. A couple of weeks ago, my girlfriend and I wanted to go out to brunch.
Of course.
Did I get that right? Me and my girlfriend?
Nope.
My girlfriend and me?
Nope.
My girlfriend and I wanted to go out to brunch, and we wanted to sit outside. So I was trying to clarify a reservation that I made online and wanted to make sure that, you know, they had space heaters. I had questions for the restaurant. But this restaurant, let's call them. I think I should call them live. Here. No, we're not gonna. Well, really? We're gonna get their voicemail. Well, forget it. I'm just gonna paraphrase. It's not. It's very quickly. It says, "Thank you for calling blah 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 restaurant. Due to the pandemic and the coronavirus pandemic, we cannot answer the phone." And they did go on to like throw you into an email address and just be like, "Fuck you. Go take care of your problems online." They are not answering their phone because of the pandemic. Now, nothing has changed. The restaurant still operates. It still has cooks, a general manager, a maitre d', waiters, waitresses. It has personnel, right? And in fact, arguments can be made that they even have less customers because they can only do outdoor dining because it's Manhattan and there's no indoor dining currently allowed. So, to me, you're shirking your responsibilities in customer service because but you're using that as a front. I don't like the fact that a lot of people, it's not just them. That's just one small example of people that are doing that in real life in other facets, they're just using the pandemic as an excuse to not provide proper customer service. Now, that is one of several customer service lines that I've called in the past 7 or 8 months, where the very first thing you hear is, due to the coronavirus pandemic, things are slow. I understand UPS is slow, and they have that on their website.
So, had the restaurant screw you? They wouldn't answer the phone.
They wouldn't answer the phone because I wanted to find out if they had proper space heaters. And by the way, the answer there was no, they didn't, because I got there and it was cold as fuck and we rushed through our meal. And by the time they threw the eggs down on the table, 10 seconds later, they were cold. And I'm like, this is, and I'm sitting there with like layers of coats on, shivering next to my girlfriend. I'm like, all right, this is great. And then I order an extra coffee because, could you give me coffee? Because I need something hot right now. It was terrible. Had I known, got through them. Well, I don't want a solution necessarily. This isn't about me trying to get free dessert from them.
Here's what they should
have done. I just think it just sucks that people in general are using the pandemic as an excuse to not provide their proper, normal customer service.
Well, they should have given you a more detailed voicemail when you called. Hey, we're not doing this, we're doing that, and we have outdoor seating, and we provide space heaters for every 6 people or whatever.
Right.
It should tell you that. It should tell you on the website anything you want to know. People have to adapt. It's like putting tables outside. You have to adapt.
Right.
It's like New York right now. I read an article yesterday.
Yeah, but don't bullshit me and tell me you can't answer your fucking phone. Because what does the pandemic have to do with you answering a phone call?
Well, okay. Do you want me to play devil's advocate back at your ass?
Let's
say some restaurants have such a busy takeout service.
They don't.
This is not one of them. Okay. That they have like somebody who answers the phone. Who's like a pizza place. Sometimes there's people who just answer all the phones during dinner time to take all the orders, right? They may have had to trim down the staff, Scary, so much that they don't have someone that could run to the phone during brunch hours.
During any hour. I called before brunch. I called like on a weekday before.
Right, well, Peter Luger, before the pandemic, you guys know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
they don't answer the phone and nothing's going on. 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, before pre-pandemic, PP, they don't answer the phone at all anyway. You can't make a reservation for the place.
Can we get back to that, though, of answering the phone and providing an actual live body on the other end?
I'm sure there's some people. Listen, you want to...
And by the way, you can route your phone. That's no way. The pandemic's not an excuse, because you can route the phones through somebody's apartment and then they could just pick up their cell phone somewhere. Someone who's not even on, the general manager or the owner. And he could just just pop an AirPod in his ear and be like, yeah, what's up? Hey, how are you? So-and-so restaurant. Like,
right. I don't know why you have to answer the phone physically. I'm assuming they had a reason for not answering the phone. Maybe people keep answering the same dumb questions.
My problem is a larger problem that at some point, everybody using that, because of due to COVID-19 pandemic, people have to stop using that as an excuse in certain fields. I mean, certain things you can't.
No, so let's talk about restaurants. So on
our favorite topic,
New Year's Eve, I think it was New Year's Eve. It was Christmas Eve. Christmas was Chinese food, Christmas Eve. So I understand it's a holiday. We ordered, my wife and I, for the whole family, we ordered, I want to say close to $300. It was a very expensive steakhouse that you've been to in the area where we live.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it's about I'm not in the area we live. It's about 40 minutes north of where we live. Okay. But we like it. It's located near a mall. It's a great steakhouse. Not one that you've taken me to because you haven't.
I don't owe you a steak dinner.
And our bill was about, I don't know, 270, 280, whatever. And we ordered, I'm gonna read the list of things. So keep in mind, they don't have indoor dining, right, on the holiday. Normally they have maybe a couple of tables outside in the parking lot, but most of their business is to go, right? Most of their order is to go. So let me see if I can pull up the list of things that were wrong. Here it is. Okay. So we ordered steak. We ordered lobster tails. Again, it's a holiday meal. We splurged, you know. We ordered two Caesar salads and lobster mac and cheese, okay? And we ordered peppercorn sauce on the side of the steaks because the kids like peppercorn sauce on the side and a bunch of other things. So we go and pick up the food. It's 40 minutes. I bring it back. And so some of the things aren't cooked. Now, we've ordered from them before, and they give you a sheet with cooking instructions, like how to prepare the food and put it together, right? We also ordered three creme brulee as desserts, which are, you know what creme brulee is, right?
Oh, God, yeah.
Right. So they have a creme brulee cheesecake.
I like that torch thing that they put right. at the very end.
They have a creme brulee cheesecake, they torch the top of it.
And it turns into a very crusty, sweet, crusty thing.
It's fantastic.
Over right. the okay. creme underneath.
So we unpack everything. There's no cooking instructions. The creme brulee cheesecake, one of them is creme brulee, two of them aren't. There's no grilled lemons for the lobster. There's no steak butter that was supposed to be there to melt for the steak.
Was there truffle butter?
Nope. We were supposed to put breadcrumbs breadcrumbs on the lobster mac and cheese. No breadcrumbs.
Urban Dictionary, Google truffle butter, everybody.
It's a Nicki Minaj song, correct?
Nicki Minaj, Drake, and Lil Wayne.
A whole bunch of people.
Yeah. Truffle butter on your pussy.
The peppercorn on the side is on the steak. Okay.
Yeah.
So I speak to the manager because the girl's like, you got to talk to the manager. I say, hey, we have no cooking instructions. He says, well, did you order meal, price fix meal one or two? I don't know. I got some lobster and I got something. He goes, oh, well, I'll tell you what. Give me your phone, your wife's phone number. Cause I said, she's upstairs in the kitchen right now and she's about to prepare the stuff. I said, text her cause her number was on the order. She placed the order. Text her. The instructions for the two different meals, one of them is going to be for us. Okay. And I said, about the creme brulee, it's not bruleed. Oh, well, you know, we find it doesn't travel well when you brulee the top.
Oh, boy.
And so I said, so what? He goes, well, some people may not like it. I said, did you ask me? I said, well, when it's to go, we don't brulee it.
Why do they get to make that decision for you?
Right. I said, what do you mean you don't brulee it when it's to go? I said, how is that possible? One of the three is bruleed. One of them is done. Oh, well, that shouldn't happen. I said, okay. Okay. So at this point, I've only noticed the brulee and the dinner instructions. Haven't noticed anything else. So he says, I'll send it right over. 15 minutes go by. We get one of the meal packages, instructions on what to cook and how to cook it, but not the other one. So I call back. I go, hey, man, I think his name was, I'm going to say Ryan, something like Ryan. They say, Ryan, you never sent the second one. Oh, man, thanks for reminding me. Reminding you, you said you'd send both of them at the same time. How do you forget one of them? He says, okay.
Right. Right. When you're sending the first one, your mind should easily go to, right. I need to do two of these.
You didn't forget altogether. Right. You forgot one of the two. So we're standing there. We don't know how to cook the couple of things that have to be prepared. Like what temperature do the lobster tails go in? I don't know. So he sends the second one, and I start noticing all these things are missing that are wrong. So when I had him on the phone the first time, I said, you know, you didn't send a thing and it's not cooked. I know it's Christmas Eve. I'm not the bad guy here, people. I'm not. I said, I know you guys are busy.
I'm
well, you know,
bad guy. Duh.
Yeah, duh. I said, look, I just, you know, we love your place, but and it looks like the Caesar salad, forgive me, there's a container of Caesar salad. It's like 3/4 full. We ordered Caesar salad for two. He said, you ordered for two? Yeah. He said, we ordered two Caesar salads. He goes, oh, you're missing a container. I said, we're missing a container. Yeah, we're supposed to put two in. We only put one.
What
I'm
a
so
mess.
Sorry. So he says, I'm going to send you a gift card for your troubles.
Of course.
Okay, great. All right, no problem. So then later in the meal, we notice there's no steak butter, no lemons, no breadcrumbs. The sauce is not on the side. Every single step of the meal, there's something wrong. So I said, you know what? My wife says, just leave it. Just leave it alone. He's going to send us a gift card. It's Christmas Eve. No problem.
Okay.
We spent $300.
Did you leave it alone? Did you leave it alone?
I left it alone.
Good. All right, good.
So
That was the right thing to do.
So the gift card comes, right? The gift card is $50.
Okay.
That's $50 on a $300 meal where the whole meal was wrong and things were missing and things were cooked wrong, whatever. $50. So my wife says, well, that doesn't seem like a fair thing.
Did he forget to put the other $50 gift card in?
Yeah, so I said, so she says, well, I don't know how I want to handle this because you usually handle this, but I ordered the food and I'm the one disappointed. I really thought he was going to send like $100. You have a $300 meal, you know.
Yeah, 33%.
Give me something. Give me $100. But I didn't ask for it. He volunteered. I'm going to send you a gift card to make up for your problems. But he said it like,
I'm going to hook you up. Yeah,
hook you up. All right. So my wife says, let me see what I got to do. Goes on the website, shoots an email to corporate. Corporate forwards it on to the manager, Ryan.
Corporate? Oh, this is a big chain, huh?
Well, she went to the website. Well, there's more than one restaurant. Again, I don't want to say what it is, but it's a big name steak chain place.
Gotcha.
It's not a chain. Well,
it is.
It's like,
if there's more than one.
It's a high scale. It's okay. Very upscale. It's okay. Not like a, it's not Outback. And I love Outback, but it's not. It's way beyond that.
I was thinking Outback.
So, No, dude, this is, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. I don't even say where it is, but anyway. So, my wife, comes home from work a couple of days later. She says, oh, I got an email response back. Yeah. She goes, they're sending us another $100.
Another $100
on top of the 50.
Now you got half off your meal. Now I'm feeling like I've been made whole.
Now I feel good. So my wife says, you think you're the only one who could do that? I was so proud.
Good.
Because my wife does, that's not normally who she is.
Yeah.
She's always like, don't just leave it.
You know, like, but I'm more like your wife in that regard. Like
you have the same birthday.
We do.
Maybe that's a thing. Maybe that's
I think that if I'm really, really done dirty, I will go after what I think is best. I will try and make myself whole. I do fight for the free dessert. I'm not afraid to write letters, make phone calls, right, and get in people's faces. But the difference between you and I is...
You and me.
You and me. Fuck you, Lady Gaga, for putting you and I, that song in my head, because now I always say you and I because of the title of your damn song,
and
you and I.
And Halsey.
Yeah.
Well, him and
that was him
I.
and me.
You could say you and I are going to the bowl game tomorrow. You could say that.
Okay, well, we're not, right, though. I wish we were. Well, that's another story. The Mets got Lindor.
Hold on, I want to talk about that in a second.
Okay, give me... All right, so we'll get there. So...
And I didn't complain.
No. But the thing is, the difference between you and me, Brody, is you will fight tooth and nail for every little nitpicky thing on everything.
But I didn't.
Normally you do. In this case,
I don't think it's nitpicky. I think the slices know I'm hardcore when it's time to be hardcore. And I have, by the way, we're not going to have time this episode.
No, we're certainly not.
I have a lot of free dessert stories that I want to get to.
All right.
Anyway. There's a couple of things I do want to slip in, so to speak. But yeah, so
like
you're
Wonder Woman
type,
slipped it in her ex-boyfriend's body.
But this is why when Robin didn't get anything for the fact that her eggs broke all over her shoes.
Well, pissed me off.
Yeah, so your girlfriend's on the lower end of the spectrum of this kind of thing, and you're sort of like you're slightly below the middle, and I'm way above.
Yeah,
I'm way above.
Well, because to
line.
Me, it's like, my time and effort to get that gift card, is it worth that? And then a lot of times the answer is no. So I'm like, I'm just going to drop it.
Yeah. All right.
All right. So we got to go quick because we're out of time, and I have a laundry list of things I wanted to get to, which we never got.
So I got a couple. I got a couple of short things. I got tweeted yesterday.
Yeah.
So yesterday was the, just to summarize, the big problem in Washington, D.C. Okay. The big problem at the Capitol with the protests.
Yeah, we don't have to reiterate.
Call
that.
It what you want. You probably just hear how I feel about it.
Despicable. Okay. The whole thing.
So I get it. So I tweeted out, that was Wednesday. On Monday, you and I did the stereo thing. Was that Monday or Tuesday?
Whatever it was. Yeah.
I tweeted out that, hey, check out our show on stereo. Here's the link.
I think it was Tuesday. Right? Yeah.
Maybe it was Tuesday. Okay. Yeah. That would make more sense. On Wednesday, someone with an American flag in their logo, it's important to the story, tweets me, your show sucks today. There's a reason Patriots is so angry. Fuck you, basically. Right? Really pissed. What? My show sucks? Then I'm thinking, did the Elvis Duran show say something?
No.
That they shouldn't have?
We did not.
Because what's today? Today's Thursday? So the problem with the Capitol was on the Wednesday. This is Wednesday afternoon.
Right.
Then I get another one. At David Brody. Oh. Dude, don't you be fucking lecturing me.
I know where you're going with this.
Get off my screen, you piece of shit.
If you listen in order, you know exactly what happened.
You don't know what you're talking about. So it was, the fact was, the guy said, your show sucks today. So I'm like, well, what show? The Stereo podcast sucks? And why are Patriots angry at me? What did I do to Patriots?
Right.
Well, again, David Brody, the Christian News Network guy, must have gone on Fox News, and he said some things that were anti the protesters, and the protesters and sympathizers of the however you want to call them, that went into the Capitol, he said it was wrong, right? So those people decided, I'm going to tweet that motherfucker, and I was that motherfucker again.
Because you're the other David Brody. Did you put that in your Twitter? Could you put that right up front saying, not the other guy? Not the Christian News Network guy. Just so people know.
Line in the profile. No, but the point was, it only happens once every month. But yesterday was a particularly polarizing political day, and I got it, but good.
I love it.
Such hatred. But when I saw show, I'm like, I didn't think it was meant to be the other David Brody, because he said show, and they were replying to my tweet about the Stereo
podcast.
I'm
so happy that my name is Scary Jones. Nobody's there's no mistake that I'm the only one. I don't think there's anyone named Skeery, let alone Jones. Well, Jones, yes, but Jones is a lat.
No. There's nobody named Jones.
No, Skeery, but Skeery? What kind of name is that? So
it's a dumb,
young. Oh, by the way, I saw something cool on Netflix that I know the Slices would love and you would love, Brody.
Tell me.
You know me, it's rare that I watch TV. But again, I love docuseries and biopics and things that are set in reality. There's a 5 or 6 part documentary called High Score. It's about video games.
Oh.
It's about... one episode deals with the birth of video games from Pong and the early days of Atari and what was going on in those offices to like the to Pac-Man and the arcade.
Oh, I'm in. I'm in for that.
And then the creators and the original sketches of how it came to be. Then there's another episode about Nintendo, when Nintendo came over and took over the revived the console, home console world.
I'll watch it.
The Sega just for our listeners, there's a Sega Genesis 1 episode about how they had to program against Mario and Nintendo with their the Genesis, which was the 16-bit system, and then into the world of 3D and Mortal Kombat.
Okay,
and,
I'm excited. I'll watch it.
And Street Fighter 2, my favorite. Are you kidding? I can't believe
that. Did you actually play Street Fighter 2?
I did, in the arcade.
You played video games?
God, I was such a video game head.
Don't
remember Street Fighter 2?
Of course. Dude, I worked at Chuck E. Cheese with an arcade. I stayed in there all hours of the night playing video games.
Ryu, they talked about how they got the settings for those scenes.
All right, so I'll watch it.
And the finishing
you said
move.
You said something on the air today about the computer system or some system. And then somebody texted in, they've never texted their name. So I looked at the text history. It said, Scary's $3.98 million home system can't do that. What a ripoff. Slice for life. So whoever that was, very funny.
Yeah.
Then somebody texted in, you know, when sometimes people confuse or combine two famous expressions.
Yes.
And into what doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Right. Anyway, so this person wrote, sitting in a room with a big pink elephant, you need to talk about it and get through it. So it's not a pink elephant.
It's the 800-pound gorilla.
Or it's an elephant in the corner.
The elephant in the corner.
It's either one. But a pink elephant is what you see when you're drunk.
When you're drunk, yeah.
Right? But it's not the elephant in the room, and it's not the gorilla in the room. Then there was, I got into a back and forth today with someone who was trying to, you know the history of curse words? It's a show on Netflix with Nicolas Cage.
I got to watch it.
History of curse words. So you know how we talked about how golf doesn't mean gentlemen only, ladies forbidden?
Yes.
Right? It doesn't mean that. That's not where the word golf came from.
Right.
So they texted in and said, oh, the word fuck means something about fornication under something of the king.
Right.
Under approval.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that text go by too, which is, again, it's not true.
It's not real. And then they said, no, that's what it stands for. And then SHIT stands for store high in transit. And that it had to do with when you're on a ship, you want to put things high up. Otherwise, the things would explode when the boat moved. Like dynamite. They would write shit.
Somebody
on the
created false narratives at some point and said, oh, we're going to put an acronym to this or whatever.
Right. So yeah. I went on Wikipedia and I pulled up the list of common false etymologies of English words and acronyms.
Did they come around, Brody?
No. They said, no, really, look it up. I said, I did. I just sent you the website. I did look it up. You're wrong. People, you know, fake news. People can fall into the fake news so easily with everything. Everything's fake news. Right. Speaking of fake news, I'm going to wrap it up real quick. I was up till 3 in the morning, maybe, Tuesday night, watching the elections in Georgia. I couldn't go to bed. I had to see the winners. I had to see everything. I couldn't fall asleep. And then yesterday was all news, obviously, coming out of Washington. I was up till 3-4 in the morning.
So you've got no sleep this week.
Because they were still doing, after they got everybody out of the Capitol, all the congressmen and the senator, congresswomen, everybody went back in, senators, they went back in and did what they were going to do. It was all hours of the night. They didn't finish till 3 in the morning. I got no sleep. So I'm like newsed up politics out of my mind. Today, whether you're a sports fan or not, Mets fans, and I apologize to Cleveland fans.
I know, fans, you guys got the shit end of the deal.
Mets fans got a gift today, and I'm not going to get too specific. The point is, if you're into sports or anything in life, that's a distraction for you. The Mets and Indians made a trade today. The Mets got one of the best players in baseball. Whether you're into sports or not, I got to watch sports news today. I watched a press conference. I watched the recap show. I listened to sports radio. The point was, we're in the wintertime, and there is no baseball normally. There's a little bit here and there. This was such a great day for me and for Skiri that we could just tune out everything else. We had an excuse to do everything else. So I hope there's something in your life, Slices, that takes your mind off the shit going on in the world right now.
Yeah.
Like a baseball trade or a playoff. Your football team is in the playoffs.
We need positive diversions.
So if you're an Indians fan, not a great day. But if you're not an Indians fan and you're a Mets fan, great day. Awesome day. So that's it. That's all I had to say. We'll talk to you guys
Monday. Is that it? 80 minutes
Monday
later?
At 6.
Monday at 6 on the Stereo app. We'll meet you there. Broadcasting live from Brooklyn. Not
Voice.
Not
from Brooklyn. Brooklyn. The Voice from Brooklyn.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait!
Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.